And if you're writing a title down, you can write the love of God. A lot of people get kind of goofy on that, the love of God. What do you mean goofy? Well, people get goofy. You probably know some. You know, not in here, but I mean, I'm talking about out there. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to 1 John 5:1-3. 1 John 5:1-3. And I'm going to read the first verse here. And it says, whoever believes, I'm going to say it again, whoever believes that Jesus is Christ, is the Christ, is born of God. All right, I'm going to keep it right there now. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone who loves him. And that's further on down in the verse. But he also, we want to look at right here in the second verse. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God. Who are the children of God? The one sitting right next to you. You're the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. In verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Right? Keep his commandments, and they are not burdensome, right? He wrote this, John wrote this, said, for this is the love of God, not the love of man. You see what I'm saying? It's the love of God. And he wrote, John wrote this, and you know, we get God's love and man's love mixed up a lot of times. God's love and man's love. But you know, the love of God is that, it's when we keep his commandments. And you know, do we always feel like keeping God's commandments? No. We mess up, don't we? We don't feel like it. But you know, think about this. Do you always get up in the morning and feel like going to work? No. I mean, anybody in here do that? You jump up in the morning, you ready to go? No. Because why? Because, you know, you don't do that because, you know, but you know you go because it's a thing you do. You get up and go, just like Sunday morning. It's a normal thing. Sunday morning, well, Saturday night, when I'm up, I set my clock to get up, which I don't ever need on Sunday morning, but maybe once or twice in a while to get up. But I get up on Sunday morning and I'm ready to go. And to do what God called me to do. But you know, we do that, the kind of things like that where, you know, we make a decision to get up and go to work. We make a decision to get up and go to church. We make a decision to get up and do what the commandments of God, right? We do those things because we know the benefits of doing that. You know, and we have to understand it. You know, we're told that the love of God is keeping his commandments, and this is the decision we must take, and it's not a feeling. Well, I don't feel like doing it today. No, it's a command for us to follow after his commandments. And that's how you can, you know, people say, how do you know if they're born again or not? Are they trying to keep God's commandments? Are they trying to do, are they just feeling like, well, I don't feel like doing it today. No, that's not you. When you're born again, your spirit is born again. Your old self is gone, right? But it hangs around. You ever take an old wagon? And you're dragging it along there, and you got all your little stuff in the back of it, and your troubles and all that, and you start taking them out, and you keep going a little further, and got some more in there, and you're just waiting, you know, it's weighing you down, and you keep pulling on that wagon, and it seemed like, well, now where all that come from? It's loaded it back up again. Somebody loading it up? No, that's you, because we live day by day, and we have these things of this world that attach itself to us, and it goes into that wagon, and we pull in that wagon. And people want to know, why am I so tired? Well, you're pulling a wagon around with all the stuff. Get rid of that stuff. Get rid of all that thing that's trying to hold you back from serving God. And you know, and when you make that decision to walk in love with that person, that, you know, maybe that individual, you know, I've heard that before. Have you ever heard this before? That this is where many Christians get confused. They think I just don't feel right with that person. You ever heard people, or maybe you did it. But when you make that decision to walk in love toward that person, your feelings change. Because it's not all about you. It's about God. And it's up to us to understand that we need to change our way of thinking. And you know, and it's like when you talk to a fireplace. You ever talk to a fireplace? No, I don't either. But it's like saying to the fireplace, send me some heat and I'll put some wood on later. You know, you understand? That don't work that way. I don't know about you, but you have to put logs in it to get your heat, right? So that when you decide to walk in love, your feelings will change. But until you make that decision, it will not work. It's just like, I would say half the people that we've ministered to outside these walls, most of it, they're going through stuff because they're holding something against somebody, or it's because they have unforgiveness in their heart. You see, they're letting that drag. It's in that wagon. As a matter of fact, those little hard rubber tires on that wagon are bowing out because of unforgiveness in their life or something else that's going on in their life. They're throwing it all in that wagon, and that little red rider is loaded down. You know, you got to put some oil on them wheels because they're starting to squeak because of all the weight that we're putting out of us into that little red wagon. But, you know, when you decide to walk in love, your feelings will change. But you know, I changed my feelings. And when I changed my feelings, I treated him different. And when I treated him different, guess what? He changed. And we were best buds. Anybody get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and sit out there and just chew the fat and just wait for an armadillo. But you understand, we changed the way we thought about each other. Well, I did. I mean, somebody had to start it, and I did. I started it, and then all of a sudden, we became best friends, best buds. And you might have heard of the big flood of Karen Crow years ago, about 2012, 16, something like that. We couldn't even get home because of the water all over the road about that deep. My little neighbor came by in his big old truck. He said, "Get behind me." And he pushed that water, and my little Ford Escort went right on through that, right behind him. Now tell me changing your ideas, changing your feelings about somebody don't change the way things go on in your life. Now you see what I'm saying? But it wouldn't have happened if it wouldn't have been. He'd probably let me out there, and I'd have had to catch a ride on a boat to the house. As long as I could just get to the subdivision, I was all right. But to get there, it was like a river. But you understand what I'm saying, that we're changing. We're deciding to walk in love. That means a lot. Walking in love. Your feelings will change. You know, I mean, we see people that I know. I mean, I could see all this, all these stabs in my back. I could see them on the street. Hey, how you doing? I'm going to show Christ's love. You know? And I mean, they may hate my guts, but I'm going to. Praise the Lord. I want you to look in 1 John 5, verse 4 through 8. 4 through 5. Whew. Okay, here we go. 1 John 5, 4. It says, "For whatever is born of God, whatever is born of God, overcomes what? The world. And overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." In verse 5 it says, "Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." You got to believe it. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I believe God. I believe it." No, then you're going off into all this other stuff that's going on in your life. Believe that he is. You can overcome the world. You can operate in this love because faith works by what? Love. That's what it says in his word. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Little faith? A lot of faith. You see what I'm saying? And how do you get your faith? Get in God's Word and stretch your faith. See, work it out. Work your faith. Move your faith. Get on there and look out, you know, look out that. Don't just look out the door and see the Cluid Highway out there. No, look down there and see the interstate. That's stretching your faith. You understand what I'm saying? Because faith is, you know, you don't see things in faith, right? It's way out there. And how are you going to get to it if you don't start believing it? Praise the Lord. But, you know, we have to understand that this kind of faith, this is why faith of some of people, it doesn't work. Why? Because they have hatred or something in their hearts, and they're not walking in love. They get upset, and they lose their cool. Anybody know anybody outside these walls? Don't point fingers in here. Praise the Lord. But there's people out there that lose their cool, and you can tell it. I mean, they got TV shows about people losing their cool now. And a lot of them get shot, get killed, and all that. Why? Because that the hatred that's in their hearts. And, you know, they're just opening the door to Satan, to let Satan come in. You know, and that's why their faith doesn't work. It's because they don't walk in love. Praise the Lord. But if they're not walking in love, they get upset and lose their cool. And you know people out there that do that. And when you're not walking in love, your faith is what? Ineffective. Love is something you decide to do. You know, think about it. I mean, I could go back and say, I mean, I love my 69 Camaro. I love my, where is it at now? It ain't around. You see what I'm saying? But, you know, when you say you love people, that means you love people. Just like I would say for that Camaro. You see, I love the body of Christ here, the family here at Hope Campus. I love, and even though sometimes we all that goofy. You know, somebody said, you know what he said the other day? Well, maybe so. Do you know what you said? You understand? And then that's how it gets started when you don't have love. You know, love for one another. And we could say this. I love it when we have, before church starts, we have people talking and laughing. And that's what it's all about. You know, some people may say, well, you don't do that in a church. Why not? Well, we're all friends. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we have to make a decision to walk in love right now. Right? I want you to look in 1 John 4, and we'll do 16 and 17. If you have in your Bible, so you don't have to turn very much, do you? 1 John 4, 16 says, and we have known all and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Woo-hoo. Verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. And I want you to go on, let's turn over to 1 John 4:20. 1 John 4:20, and it tells us, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's a powerful scripture right there. It's one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. And it ties God with the creation of man. And you see what I'm saying here, that God created man in his own image and likeness, an exact duplication of kind. And he's put that scripture in there for a reason. And it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? I've heard people say it all the time. I love God. I love God. Yeah, good. But they still have all that unforgiveness in their heart because somebody did something to them. Pray for them. Do them good. You know, and like I said, this is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. And you know, man, now remember, we had a teaching on this several years ago that man is a spirit, right? He has a soul, and he lives in a body. And I used to call it a suitcase. Some people have a roll-around suitcase, some don't. But you understand that God is spirit. John writes that if a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar, right? If he does not love his brother whom he has seen, and how can he love God who is not seen? And you know, we have to understand that God is spirit. We have a spirit too. And that's how we communicate with God. Not because of our mouth. We, you know, speak English, or we speak Cajun, or we speak French, or we speak redneck, we speak whatever. God understands. When we pray in the spirit, and we see we're speaking to God. That's it. God only, not to the whole congregation. And we speak to Him. That's why it's so important. It's like this past month, every Thursday night, we had our praise, our worship, and prayer. And we saw a mighty move of God's Spirit in this place for just different things we prayed for, the elections and everything else that's going on in the world, Israel. We prayed for to cease all of these stuff that's going on around the world. We prayed for it. And I believe we're just going to come to an end. I'm believing in all what we prayed for. And we had some awesome people praying in here, and some didn't come up to the mic, but some were praying in their seats, and it was awesome time. And that's what it's all about, for us to come together as a body of Christ to not just pray for the world things, but pray for one another. Praise the Lord. And I just want to say this to you. You know, when we talk about that you're a liar if you say you love God and hate your brother. Somebody asked me one time before, and he said, do you mean Christians are walking in death? Yes. Look at 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14, and it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you're eternally lost, or going, you know, whatever it is. It means that you're walking under the law of sin and death, with unforgiveness in your heart, with hatred in your heart for any brother or sister. Yet you're walking in the law of sin and death, and that law will be working on you. You understand what I'm saying? So it's good to have a repentant heart. And basically that's what we did this past, this rest of the first part of this month, is for repentance, to come back to God, to know that, you know, we're humans, we mess up, but we ask God to forgive us. And when we do that, He forgives us, and that we can be set back on the right path that we're supposed to be on, because we all go stray every so often because we're following what we say, the law of sin and death. We have unforgiveness in our heart, and the law that will be working in us if we don't clear it up real quick. You ever had a little trash fire? You used to do, I remember, they may still do it in the country. You had a can, you put your trash in it, and you burn it. And every now and then, something will fall on the ground, and it start burning real slow, start burning a patch. And if you don't do something with it, that whole yard and people's next door neighbors' yards all be burned up. Same thing when we have unforgiveness in our heart. We have that little fire in there, and it falls out, and then all of a sudden we don't take care of it right away, and all of a sudden it consumed a whole forest of trees and everything else because we didn't take care of it when it first happened. So we have to be on guard at all times about, are we following, and do we show we loving? We say we love God. Do we show that we love our brothers and our sisters? That it's important. God sees those things, and a lot of people think they're just walking right on the easy street, but they got all the unforgiveness in their heart, hadn't repented from any of their sins, and they just thinking they, you know, I don't need church, I don't need this, I don't need all that. I'm telling you right now, if you wouldn't have been in church today, you wouldn't have heard this message, and you could have been still walking in fault. But now you've heard the word, now you can take that word and redo something in your spirit to ask God to forgive me for acting a fool. But you know what? He loves us. He's still there. And then my little mind can think about what he does. Him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're over there saying, look, watch them. They're gonna get right. Watch them. Why? Because Jesus, you died on the cross for them. You love them right there. You're going to show them by your spirit. They're going to come back to you. They're going to repent and come back to you. They're going to ask for forgiveness and that of what they've done, the forgiveness of sins. And guess what? And you're going to just show them that mercy seat with the blood spread all over it. You see what I'm saying? They don't, you know, we talked about if you say you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. That's what the word of God said. But you know, Jesus ain't going to come over there and beat you over the head. He wants you to come back to him. He's just telling you some boundaries here. You say you love God, but you hate your brother and sisters. You're out of bounds if you are. Let's get back in bounds. That's all they want to do. Get you back over here. Put you back in the playing field so that you can do the will of God in your life. You can't do the will of God in your life when you're dragging that wagon full of unforgiveness and not a repentant heart. Hallelujah. But you know, you think about, we talked about that spirit of sin and death. And you know, it can even cost you your life. I've seen people go to their grave because they had unforgiveness in their heart. They were hard-headed. But you understand what I was saying? That people are so hard-headed, they got all that stuff in them, and they're not trying to unload it, and God is telling them, ask for forgiveness. God will forgive you. But they don't do it. And I've seen them go to their grave because they carry that with them. I'm not going to tell them. You know what they did to me? Man, that's some crazy, when you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, it's dragging you down. I don't know about you, but I remember when we were running track, we used to put them weights on, you know, when we were running a sprint, a 100-yard dash or 220, they'd put those weights on, you'd run them, and I said, man, I don't know if I want to go out for track or not, if I got to carry all this, but the coach said, now take them off. Man, it felt like you're flying. The same thing in our life. When we get rid of all this extra weight, we can do the will of God a whole lot easier. Why? Because we love God and we love our fellow man, our brothers and our sisters. But praise the Lord, that's what it's all about, to get rid of all this excess weight that's carrying us down. I hear people, especially young people, I don't know, I can't hardly get up. What time to go to bed? Oh, it's about midnight or 2 o'clock. Are you crazy? And you got to get up and go to work, and you got to take kids to school. I hear young people say that all the time. Our priorities are out of whack because we're not listening to the word of God. We put God first and all these other things will come into play. People don't realize it. You put God's word into position. Follow after God's word, everything else will just start coming to you. It could be added, but God's not going to add those things until you're ready. But a lot of people, you know, especially I've seen people, they have young parents say, man, we got to go get us a van. We got to be over at this ballpark, and I got to take it over to this ballpark. I got to go over to this ball. I say, man, I don't know how they kids do it nowadays. But then you ask them, I said, well, when's the last, you know, how are you doing with your faith? How are you doing spiritually? Oh, well, I don't know. I ain't been in church in a while. But they're carrying all that stuff around with them. They're carrying all this, and they're weighting themselves down to where they can't perform. They can't move in the direction that God wants them to move. I don't know about you. I've learned a lot from the Word of God, and I continuously read books from Brother Hagin, even though he's passed away, there's books. I read from him that come out, and his son, Pastor Hagen. I read in different ones. I read their books so that I can get some knowledge on some things. And what I love about it, if there's something that I don't know, I can call them. And, you know, still showing the love of Jesus. Showing the love to get people, not to let people get in our hearts to decay it. We keep them out of our heart by just loving on them. But you understand what I'm saying about the love of God. You know, it's so easy to say, I love God. But then, you don't like your brother or your sister. That's wrong. It ain't going to work. Because God calls it a liar. You're a liar. And I wouldn't want God to call me a liar. If he did, I would have to ask God, forgive me. Because I can tell you, probably years ago, I was probably that liar. Because of my feelings against somebody else for what they did, somewhere in my past life, you know. But I can tell you, I had to learn and say, God, forgive me. What do you want me to do now? You know, first thing that comes is, love them. Huh? You know what they did? You want me to love them, what they did to me? He says, love them. God is love. And we got to remember that. Even though we're going through a hard time, if we're going through a hard time, remember, God is love. And if nobody else puts their arm around you, God's arms will go around you, and you can sense his spirit. When you're going through a situation, you cry out to God, God will touch you right where you are. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today? It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen and amen.